Welcome back to Science TLDR. It's time for another deep dive.
I'm excited to see what we're dissecting today.
Well, you actually sent this one over.
Oh, that's right, I did.
It's a mechanism for hypoxia-induced inflammatory cell death in cancer.
Fresh from the pages of Nature.
Exactly.
Always exciting to see what's new in Nature.
This paper really got me intrigued.
What is it that caught your eye?
I think just the title alone.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's by Abhishek Bhardwaj and their team.
Yeah.
And it dives into how we might exploit the vulnerabilities of those pesky hypoxic cancer cells.
Yeah, this is a good one. It's a dense one for sure.
It is.
Packed with pathways.
Oh yeah, lots of molecular pathways, but I think we could tease out some really fascinating insights here.
I think so too.
So before we get lost in the weeds,
okay,
let's set the scene for our listeners.
That was good.
Hypoxia or low oxygen levels.
Right.
It's like this fortress for tumor cells.
A protective barrier almost.
Yeah, making them resistant to a lot of our current therapies.
Exactly.
Can you remind us why that is?
Sure. So you see, cells are remarkably adaptable.
They are.
When oxygen levels drop, they kick into survival mode.
Okay.
Almost like switching to a backup generator.
I like that analogy.
When the power goes out, a key player in this switch is HIF, or hypoxia-inducible factor.
Right, HIF.
As oxygen gets scarce, HIF stabilizes and activates a cascade of downstream pathways. Think of it as a master regulator yelling, emergency, conserve energy, adapt and survive.
So it's like this chain reaction.
Exactly.
Triggered by that low oxygen.
Right.
And some of those adaptations include things like AMPK activation, which helps regulate energy metabolism, and the unfolded protein response, which deals with stress in the endoplasmic reticulum.
You got it. That's exactly right.
But this paper focuses on a different pathway.
Uh-huh.
One that leads to the death of those hypoxic cancer cells through a process called pyroptosis.
Pyroptosis. Okay, that sounds pretty dramatic.
It does.
Isn't that different from apoptosis?
It is. Apoptosis is more of a quiet programmed cellular shutdown.
Right.
Pyroptosis, on the other hand, is a fiery explosive kind of cell death, triggering a massive inflammatory response.
So it's not going quietly.
Not at all.
It's going out with a bang.
It is.
I like it.
So where do our researchers fit into all of this? What's their big contribution?
They've uncovered a fascinating chain of events that links a protein called PTP1B to the activation of pyroptosis in these oxygen-deprived cancer cells.
The PTP1B.
Yes.
That rings a bell. Didn't the same team publish something about PTP1B before?
They did. Their earlier research showed that inhibiting PTP1B could actually kill hypoxic breast cancer cells.
Okay.
But the exact mechanism wasn't entirely clear. This paper goes deeper, providing more detailed picture of how it all works.
Interesting. So how does PTP1B actually connect to this whole pyroptosis cascade?
Well, they focused on a protein called RNF213.
RNF213.
Which you might have heard of in connection with Moyamoya disease.
Okay, vaguely.
What they found is that PTP1B, along with certain kinases, directly regulates RNF213's activity.
Hold on, I'm trying to keep up.
A lot of moving parts.
So we've got PTP1B regulating RNF213, and how does that regulation work?
It's all about tyrosine phosphorylation. Imagine PTP1B acting like a switch that turns RNF213 on or off by adding or removing phosphate groups.
Like a light switch.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, I think I'm following. So when RNF213 gets flipped on, what happens next?
This is where it gets really interesting. RNF213 is what we call ubiquitin ligus.
Okay.
Think of ubiquitin as a destroy me tag.
Ah.
That the cell attaches to proteins it wants to get rid of.
So it's marking them for destruction.
Exactly. It's saying, get rid of this one.
So RNF213 is like a cellular hitman slapping on these destroy me tags.
That's a great analogy. And the targets in this case are two proteins, CYLD and SPATA2.
Okay, more names to remember.
I know it's a lot to keep track of.
Are CYLD and SPATA2 the bad guys here?
Not necessarily. They normally act as brakes on a major inflammatory pathway called NFKey.
Okay.
But when RNF213 tags them for destruction, the brakes come off and NFKey goes into overdrive.
So let me get this straight. PTP1B influences RNF213, which targets CYLD and SPATA2, leading to NFKey activation.
You got it.
That's quite a chain of events.
And it doesn't stop there. This NFKey activation, combined with the stress of the hypoxic environment, sets the stage for the formation of the NLRP3 inflammasome.
The NLRP3 inflammasome. Now that's a mouthful.
It is a bit of a tongue twister.
What does that even do?
Think of it as a molecular machine that kickstarts the final dramatic steps of pyroptosis. It triggers a cascade that ends with the activation of gastrumin D, or GSDMD.
GSDMD.
Yep.
And GSDMD, that's our executioner, right? The one that makes the cell go boom.
Precisely, GSDMD forms pores in the cell membrane, punching holes in it and essentially causing the cell to explode in a burst of inflammatory signals.
Wow, that's pretty intense. So we've got PTP1B, RNF213, CYLD, SPADA2, NFK, the NLRP3 inflammasome,
yeah.
And finally GSDMD, all playing a role in this elaborate dance of cell death.
Yeah.
How did the researchers piece all of this together?
They used a really comprehensive approach, combining cell culture experiments, in vitro assays, and even mouse models.
So they didn't just observe this in a dish. They actually saw it happening in living organisms.
Exactly. They implanted human breast cancer cells into mice and found that by manipulating this pathway, specifically by knocking out PTP1B, they could significantly slow down tumor growth.
Now, that's compelling.
Yeah.
That suggests that targeting this pathway could hold real therapeutic potential.
It does.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, you mentioned a fascinating detail about RNF213 earlier. It has these two ubiquitin ligase domains.
Right.
RN and RZ. What's the deal with those?
Right. So they discovered that their ring domain actually inhibits the RZ domain, which is the one responsible for tagging CYLD and SPADA2 for destruction.
Wait, so it's like RNF213 has a built-in safety mechanism, like a self-destruct button with a cover on it.
Exactly. It's a way to prevent RNF213 from going haywire and causing too much cell death.
But what if that safety mechanism goes awry?
Well, that's where it gets really interesting. Mutations in the RNG domain, the kind we often see in Moyamoya disease, can actually enhance RNF213's ability to kill cells. It's a bit of a paradox.
So a mutation that causes a serious disease might actually make cancer cells more vulnerable. That's wild.
It certainly opens up a lot of questions, doesn't it? And not just for cancer, but potentially for other diseases where RNF213 plays a role. We'll have to dive into those implications later, but first there's another crucial piece of the puzzle we need to explore. The role of endoplasmic reticulum stress in all of this.
Okay, I'm definitely hooked. Let's unpack that next time.
Sounds like a plan. So before we got sidetracked by RNF213's intriguing double life, we were discussing how this pathway leads to pyroptosis in those hypoxic tumor cells.
Right.
But it turns out that NFK activation alone isn't enough to pull the trigger.
Right, you mentioned a second signal is needed.
Exactly.
What is it?
Well, that second signal is endoplasmic reticulum stress, or ER stress for short.
Okay.
It's essentially a state of overload in the ER.
The ER.
Yeah, the cell's protein folding factory. And it's a condition often made worse by severe hypoxia.
So the hypoxic environment itself is priming the cells for this second signal.
Precisely. The researchers found that knocking out PTP1B made the cells far more susceptible to death under very low oxygen conditions, the kind that really crank up ER stress.
Interesting. But is ER stress just a bystander here, or is it actively involved in pushing these cells towards pyroptosis?
It's definitely not just a bystander. They used inhibitors to block specific ER stress pathways and found that this actually protected the PTP1B deficient cells from dying in hypoxia.
So by blocking ER stress, they essentially disarmed the pyroptosis bomb.
That's a great way to put it. They also showed that inducing ER stress directly, even with normal oxygen levels, could trigger cell death in cells where CYLD and SPADA2 had been knocked down. It's like mimicking the effect of RNF213 activation.
So ER stress isn't just necessary. It's actually sufficient to activate pyroptosis in these prime cells.
Exactly. It provides the final nudge that fully activates that NLRP3 inflammasome we talked about, leading to the cleavage of gastrin D and ultimately the demise of the cell.
It's remarkable how all these different cellular processes come together to orchestrate this form of cell death. It's like a delicate balance, one wrong move, and the cell is doomed. But I have to ask, what does all this mean in the context of an actual tumor, not just cells in a dish? Did they find evidence of this pathway at work in vivo?
They did. They implanted these modified breast cancer cells into mice, and the results were striking. Tumors lacking PTP1B grew much slower, and this effect was completely dependent on the presence of NLRP3.
So knocking out NLRP3, a key part of that inflammasome, basically negated the tumor-suppressing effect of PTP1B deficiency.
Exactly. It really confirms that this entire pathway culminating in pyroptosis is essential for the tumor growth inhibition they observed in a living organism.
That's impressive. It's one thing to see it in a petri dish, but quite another to see it actually impacting tumor growth in a living animal.
And they didn't stop there. Remember those RNF213 mutants we discussed, the ones with alterations in the RNG and RZ domains?
Uh-huh.
Well, they implanted cells expressing these mutants into mice to pinpoint which domains were crucial for that tumor suppression effect.
And what did they find? Did those mutants behave as expected?
For the most part, yes. Expressing the wild-type RNF213, or the RNDead mutant, significantly inhibited tumor growth. This aligns with their earlier findings, as the R-Undead mutant actually enhances the RZ activity and therefore promotes pyroptosis.
But what about the other mutants, the ones that messed with the RZ domain or prevented RNF-213 from oligomerizing?
Ah, those are the interesting ones. Humors expressing those mutants grew unchecked, just like the ones lacking RNF-213 altogether. It really highlights the critical role of that RZ domain and the ATPase activity for the tumor-suppressive effects of RNF-213.
So it's like they systematically dissected the whole pathway, proving the importance of each component both in vitro and in vivo. That's incredibly thorough.
It is, but I think it's important to step back and consider the bigger picture here.
Okay.
This research has implications that reach far beyond just understanding a new cell death pathway. It opens up some exciting possibilities for cancer therapy.
Absolutely. Targeting PTP1B, or CYLDSPATA2, to kill those hypoxic tumor cells is a tantalizing prospect. And the potential to harness pyroptosis to boost the immune response against the tumor. That's huge.
Exactly. And let's not forget about the implications for Moyamoya disease and other conditions where RNF-213 is involved. This research might offer insights into the mechanisms underlying these diseases and perhaps even suggest potential therapeutic avenues.
It's fascinating how this seemingly obscure pathway could hold the key to unlocking new treatments for a range of diseases. It really underscores the power of basic science research.
Couldn't agree more. It's a perfect example of how fundamental discoveries can pave the way for translational breakthroughs.
Okay, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. Before we move on, let's quickly recap the three major takeaways from this paper for our listeners.
All right, takeaway number one. A novel pathway linking PTP1B, RNF-213, CYLDSPATA2, and pyroptosis in hypoxic cancer cells has been identified. It's a complex but elegant cascade that ultimately leads to the demise of these notoriously resistant cells. Takeaway number two. RNF-213 regulation is more complex than we previously thought, with that fascinating interplay between its R-ing and RZ domains.
Right, with the R-ing domain acting as a brake on the RZ domain's pro-death activity.
Exactly. And the fact that mutations in R-ing often linked to Moyamoya disease can actually enhance cell death adds another layer of complexity.
And takeaway number three.
This research opens up exciting new avenues for therapeutic intervention in cancer and offers valuable insights into other diseases involving RNF-213.
That's a great summary. This paper has given us a lot to chew on.
It has. But one question lingers in my mind.
Ooh. I'm sure our listeners are curious as well. What is it? Well, you've got me on the edge of my seat. What's the question?
Well, given everything we've discussed, the big question is, can we actually harness this pathway to develop therapies that precisely target hypoxic cancer cells while leaving normal tissues untouched?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It really is.
If we could selectively trigger pyroptosis in those hard-to-reach hypoxic tumor cells, it would be a game-changer for cancer treatment.
A total game-changer.
But how do we even begin to translate these findings into something clinically useful?
It's definitely not a simple task. There are hurdles to overcome. First and foremost, we need to understand the role of this pathway in normal, healthy tissues.
Right. They want to be triggering widespread pyroptosis.
Exactly. We wouldn't want to cause more harm than good.
Right. Safety is paramount.
Absolutely.
But even if we figure out the safety aspect, there's still the question of how best to manipulate this pathway for therapeutic benefit. Should we focus on inhibiting PTP1B, targeting CYLD and SPATA2, or maybe try to directly activate RNF-213?
Each approach has its own set of challenges. Inhibiting PTP1B could lead to unintended consequences, as it's involved in other cellular processes besides this pathway.
Right, it's not just limited to this one pathway.
No, it's a busy protein.
Targeting CYLD and SPATA2 might be more specific.
It might be.
But we still need to consider their normal functions.
Exactly. We don't want to disrupt those.
And directly activating RNF-213 seems like a tricky proposition, given its intricate self-regulation.
You're right about that. It's a delicate balancing act. Too much activation could be disastrous, but too little might render the therapy ineffective.
It's like trying to fine-tune a really powerful engine.
Yeah.
With a very sensitive throttle.
A very delicate touch is required.
But that's what makes this research so exciting. It's a complex puzzle. But with careful investigation and clever experimentation, we might just unlock a completely new approach to cancer therapy.
I completely agree. And let's not forget about the potential implications for Moyamoya disease.
Oh, right.
We know that mutations in RNF-213 can shift the balance towards cell death. Could this dysregulation explain the vascular damage seen in this condition?
That's a fascinating thought. Could excessive pyroptosis be a driving force behind Moyamoya disease?
Possibly. Or perhaps it's a disruption of RNF213's other functions beyond its role in cell death.
Right, because it's a multifunctional protein.
Exactly. It's a protein of many talents.
So many questions still to answer.
There are, but that's what makes science so exciting.
Absolutely. So much left to discover.
It never gets boring.
Well, this has been an incredibly insightful deep dive.
It has.
Into a truly fascinating area of research.
I agree.
We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
From the intricate molecular mechanisms of pyroptosis to the potential therapeutic implications for cancer and beyond.
It's been a whirlwind tour of cell death and its implications.
For those of you who want to delve deeper into the nitty-gritty details, I highly recommend checking out the full paper and the supplementary materials.
Absolutely. There's a wealth of information in there.
And as always, we encourage you to share your thoughts and questions. Let us know what aspects of this research resonated with you the most.
We love hearing from our listeners.
Thanks for joining us on Science TLDR. We'll catch you on our next deep dive.
Until then, stay curious.